Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is Oriol Puigdemont. And Yuri, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. We had a bit of resting days, and then not that much because a lot of things going on. But yeah, I'm happy and ready.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've been enjoying some nice relaxed time off, but we don't really get that in journalism, do we?
No, not really. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's our life.
Well, that's it. It could be a lot worse. As you mentioned there, there has been some news. On Thursday, Honda confirmed that Marc Marquez has had a third operation on his broken arm. And this one is quite a serious one because it looks like, Yuri, he's going to be out for at least 6 months. Honda has yet to give us a time scale, but that seems to be all the experts. Everyone seems to say 5-6 months is what it's looking at. So just what do you know about the surgery, first of all?
Well, the thing is that the surgery took 8 hours, so it was quite a lot of time. It means that the danger of having that 8 hours of surgery, it means that it's a bit more risky than normal, because the injury can be infected, the wound can be infected. The other question mark is, okay, now we are getting into a process where, first of all, we need to find out if everything was fine. If everything was fine with the surgery, in 2-3 weeks, we will know that there was no infection, that everything goes well. Then we are going to have a second stage between 6 and 8 weeks, where we will have to see, the doctors will have to see if there is a new bone. So if this kind of surgery is a success, in between 6 and 8 weeks, there will have to be a bit of new bone. So it will be the best input to say that, okay, everything goes to the right direction.
Yeah, the Honda sent a press release on Thursday sort of detailing what the surgery was, which is, oh my, that is a lot of letters for what it was. But essentially it was a bone graft. Took bone from the hip and it was placed there with a plate in the right arm, as far as I understand. And as you mentioned there, the idea is that it will help grow the bone. I think you wrote in your story that bit of bone they took is high in red blood cells. It's soft bone, so it should aid growth. This shows how serious Mark's injury has been, because you know we know that first operation went well and then he tried to come back, and you wrote a fantastic feature which you can go and read on Autosport and motorsport.com about the mistake that Mark made, which was to come back just 4 days after that surgery. That weakened the bone, and now that second recovery time from that second operation has been so slow. Alberto Puig even said in Portugal, he said, look, it's taken a lot longer than we thought it would. And of course Mark didn't race again, so it just shows how serious this has all been.
By this first mistake, and I didn't want to, of course he's the first responsible of this mistake, because he was the one jumping onto the bike and he was the one deciding to try it. But at the same time, he had the green light from the doctors. I mean, if the doctor said at that point no, there was no point of jumping into the bike. So but at the same time, we still don't know if that first surgery was really, let's say, the best, with the best possible outcome. And we don't know if the plate was the best one. I mean, now, after all the mess, it's very easy to talk. I mean, let's put it this way. And from our position, it's very easy to say, no, he should have done this. But the problem is that you have to come back, you know, a few months ago. I mean, anybody can make this kind of mistake. Me, you, anybody in his position can make this kind of mistake. But in the end, let's see, because initially this kind of injury after crashing Jerez we were all, even Mark was expecting maybe in the worst scenario, losing 2-3 races maximum. Now he's going to be 11 months out. So it means that the situation is very, 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 very extreme and very delicate. So let's see.
Yeah, you're right. He came back. He felt fine after that first surgery, and Honda were against it. They said they'd packed up. They'd sent everything home, and he was like, "No, you're not racing." And then he came back. He passed all the MotoGP medical checks. I think that's the important thing to point out, is that he was cleared by MotoGP to race as well. So Mark, from that point of view, you it's easy to say, "I should have done this, that, or the next thing," but Mark was given all the green lights. He felt himself he was able to do it. And as a racer, that's what racers do. They fight through hell to come and race. We've seen riders come back from horrible, horrible injuries so quickly. That's what they do. But I think it highlights, and I think you picked up on this as well in your feature, it highlights that perhaps the rigorous, the tests to clear riders need to become more rigorous, because the situation, and this was mentioned by some riders at the time, and they thought, well, if the MotoGP says it's fine, then we'll trust that, but maybe there needs to be a change, perhaps? Yeah,
but I don't think the test needs to, let's say, decide if the rider is able to participate in a race or not, because in the end he could have raced, but he would have been a danger for himself first. So in the end, I wouldn't say that these kind of checks are the ones who have to decide. I mean, in a way, yes, but the doctors are the ones having all the information, all the, you know, the x-rays and all these medical checks, and they are the ones who have the knowledge to decide, okay, this guy is able to participate and to complete a race and a qualifying session and to push at a certain level. I wouldn't say 100%, but, you know, certain level, without taking so much risk, especially for himself and then, of course, for the others. But I don't see this kind of medical checks. So I think that there's some misunderstanding on that, at least how I see this thing.
That's fair enough, and that is an interesting point you raise. That ultimately the buck stops with the doctors. You are correct. It's an interesting one as well, because we looked ahead to next year, and it's almost certain that Mark's going to be out until May, maybe possibly later than that. Of course, we don't know what the calendar is going to look like with the COVID situation. We've got vaccines coming, but it's going to take. 2021 isn't going to be a normal year. Even though there's vaccines coming, it's going to take a long time for everyone to get immunized. But even then, assuming the season starts in March in Qatar, Honda needs a replacement. And the door has been left open now for Andrea Dovizioso.
Well, I think that Andrea Dovizioso has put himself in that position. I think he was clever to don't, let's say, commit himself to any, I wouldn't say, because it doesn't sound well, but yes, I will say it, minor project, like being a test rider. I don't want to disrespect any of the test riders, but considering that he is still focused on trying to win races, I would say that signing as a test rider, it can be considered as a minor project. Anyway, apart from that, I think that he has put himself in that position. And the thing is, I think in the next 2 months, probably, we will have a more clear picture about how Mark is going to evolve and how his right arm, the evolution of his injury. And then Honda will have a more clear idea about what where to go. I mean, it's not the same if you know that Mark in the end is going to miss 3, 4, 5, 6 races, is one story. But if you know that after race number 7, race number 6, race number 8, he's going to come back, that's one strategy to follow. But if you have doubt about it, and I mean, don't make me wrong, but it's a possibility. I mean, we've been like 5, 6 months waiting for his comeback and didn't happen. So we don't have we don't know if he's going to come back at 100%. So in that point, I think Honda will have to maybe change the approach to this strategy and look for, a faster option than Stefan Bradl, who really did a good job, especially at the last part of last season.
Yeah, Stefan did a great job, but obviously, and what Honda want to avoid, I think, is the problem Aprilia had, was that they don't want the test rider racing, because then they don't have the right test rider testing.
Don't forget that next year we have Paul Espargaró coming into the HRC Repsol team, so it means that he's a new rider. You cannot put all the pressure on him since the beginning, because Honda is not an easy bike and HRC is not an easy team to ride for. So yeah, I think they will have to calibrate very well each one of the steps they will have to make.
Yeah, just finally on Mark, I suppose what's lucky in this situation is that Honda doesn't need to rush anything, because they've got Mark for 4 years. Of course, if they didn't have a four-year contract, it's not as if the Honda would go, we're going to get rid of him because Mark's not a normal rider. But they've got that time frame to go, look, we don't need to rush it. He's not going to go anywhere. Let's just take our time. And I think what they've seen this year, I guess that'll be Honda's approach now. It'll just be to take their time.
Well, I think it's the only approach possible, considering the situation and the gravity of the situation. I mean, what else are they going to do? I mean, Honda knows that Mark is the first interested on his own recovery. So there's no point on trying to. I mean, they will try to explore all the options before considering any other solution.
Yeah, the main thing is that we get Mark back, and I think that's what everyone wants, is a fully fit Mark back, because we miss him, and we don't want to see a rider like that, his career ended by injury. We know it can happen, but it's just, yeah, we want Mark back. I think that's all there is to say.
What we all want, and I think all the other riders want, because I think they are suffering from looking at a colleague going through those very difficult times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish, I'm sure he's obviously listening to our podcast, but we wish Mark all the best in his recovery, and we hope to see him back soon. We'll wrap up there. Yuri, thank you ever so much for staying up late and speaking to us. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts. We've been working like mad over the past few weeks. We've got a lot of features. As I mentioned, Yuri wrote a great one about Marquez. I wrote a slightly mistimed feature about Paul Espargaró on his challenge facing Marquez, but it's still a relevant feature, I think, so you won't read that.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It was a great chat. Yeah, you go read all of our stuff on Autosport and motorsport.com. And of course, the Autosport Awards are now open, and there is a Rider of the Year category, so go and vote there. I know there's a lot of anger that Jonathan Rea wasn't nominated for BBC Sports Personality of the Year, but he's nominated in Rider of the Year, so... And that's the only award that matters. So there we go. You can go vote there. We'll be back at some point. Maybe next week. We're not sure. We're taking it nice and easy over these next few weeks. I think we've earned that much. But do keep looking after yourselves, and we will speak to you soon.